everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Keeping Them Safe, the program completely 100% dedicated to keeping children safe from predators of all kinds. We're coming up on Child Abuse Prevention Month, so the next episode is going to talk to you more about the broader subject of child abuse. But today, we want to continue answering the unanswered questions. These are questions that are probably in the back of your mind, questions you might have thought about but didn't stop to question or answer or find answers for. They might be questions that you've wondered about, things that you've heard and then thought, well, where did that come from? So we're actually going to take a few sessions here to explore some of those, to give you some grounding and foundation in what we're saying, why we're saying it, and where in the world did we get this, okay? We talked last time about parenting and its relationship to child sexual abuse. This time we're going to talk about some of the things you hear about child sexual abuse and where did they come from. So one of the statistics that we often hear quoted by professionals and by leaders in the field is that there are approximately 40 million adult survivors of child sexual abuse in the United States, and that one out of five females and one out of 10 males have been abused between the time they were born and the time they were 18. The question you might have is, where did those numbers come from? They seem ridiculously high. But where did we get that? Well, frankly, there have been a lot of studies over the years. A good number of them have looked at that question. They've looked at the questions of what happened to the adult population that currently is living. What happened to them when they were kids? And honestly, those studies have consistently demonstrated that the number of adult survivors of child sexual abuse in this country is approximately 40 million. Now, how did we come up with that? Well, as I said, almost every study that has been thoroughly and completely done, consistent with good social science research, and is conservative in its approach, so it isn't some wild study that is looking for one little piece. No, these are large conservative analysis of the issue. And virtually every single one of them says one out of 5 to 6 women and one out of 8 to 10 men were sexually molested by the time they are 18 years old. One of the largest studies that was conducted about this subject is called The Secret Trauma, Incest in the Lives of Girls and Women. It was initially published by Diane Russell in 1986 and in 1999 was republished. It is considered to be a remarkable authority on the subject because of the scope and nature of the way the research was done. So, for example, my recollection is there were almost 1,000 people who were part of the study, and each of them participated in personal interviews with social workers and social work students that lasted somewhere between 2 and 4 hours. So these were not simply surveys people filled out. These were conversations with people to really get at the source of the problem and really give people an opportunity to express themselves. So when you extend those figures, the 1 out of 5 or 6 women and 1 out of 8 to 10 men are victims of sexual abuse by the time they're 18. When you extend that to the general population, unfortunately, it equates to an estimated 40 million adult survivors in the United States. We're not talking about in the world. We're talking about in the United States. Now, some people have also questioned why we consider child sexual abuse a societal epidemic. Well, first of all, we're talking about those numbers. But like an illness, child sexual abuse creates physical and mental damage to the children who suffer it. The estimated 40 million adult survivors is a figure, again, for the United States only. So like an epidemic, child sexual abuse, if left unchecked, will continue to spread or perhaps worsen. I mean, now we have the internet, and the internet is a place for predators to troll for people, for children, and they are making good use of it for that purpose. For comparison of why we consider this to be a societal epidemic, on May 11th, 1999, the World Health Organization announced that HIV/AIDS was the deadliest infectious disease. Now, I'm pretty sure today it would be COVID, but right now we want to just get a perspective on why it is we're calling child sexual abuse a societal epidemic. And we're looking at the declaration by the World Health Organization in the May of 1999 that HIV/AIDS was the deadliest infectious disease. However, most Americans believe that AIDS was a homosexual problem. The kicker: the United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS estimates that there are approximately 36 million living with HIV/AIDS in the world. 36 million living with HIV/AIDS in the world. 40 million adult survivors of child sexual abuse in the United States alone. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has estimated that there are 300,000 people in the United States living with HIV. So if we're shifting our views of AIDS from an issue of morality and homosexuality to dealing with the issue as a public health matter, we can see that what happened was he opened the door to treatment and prevention that was not possible before. So shifting how we think about child sexual abuse may open the door to society making the changes necessary to prevent this harm from occurring. We consider child sexual abuse a societal epidemic, not just because the 40 million adult survivors in the United States who are, in one form or another, dealing with whatever consequences they are left with, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and physically, from the abuse and grooming that they suffered. We declared HIV/AIDS the deadliest infectious disease in the world in 1999, and there are only 300,000 people in the United States living with it today. Shifting how we think about child sexual abuse may give us a new door, a new access, a new opening to society making the changes necessary to prevent child sexual abuse from ever occurring. So another question that comes up in that whole arena is that if there are 40 million adult survivors of child sexual abuse, does that mean there are also 40 million perpetrators of abuse? The answer to that question is a resounding no. And it's a simple answer. A perpetrator of abuse can abuse more than one child. In fact, a serial perpetrator, a perpetrator we would call a pedophile that has diagnosed by a competent professional as a pedophile, consistent with the psychological diagnoses in the DSM-6, I think it is now, 5 or 6. That person can abuse hundreds of children during his or her lifetime. So there are different kinds of perpetrators, as we've talked about before, and we will discuss again. One of those is a serial perpetrator, an actual person who has abused hundreds of kids. So there are not necessarily 40 million perpetrators of abuse out there, because one perpetrator who is a serial perpetrator can abuse a good number of people. In fact, in 1984, the National Institute of Health did a survey of 453 pedophiles. These are people who are convicted pedophiles with a diagnosis of pedophilia. And it showed that these people, these 453, molested over 60,000 children, and that the average number each one of them perpetrated abuse on was 148 children. Another study that was completed by Dr. Abel at Emory University estimated that a pedophile might have as many as 380 victims. So it's not a one-for-one or a one-off. It is some abuse is committed by individuals against a single child. But then there are those whose lifetime of abuse leaves them with hundreds of victims in their wake. There isn't any definitive research on the percentage of abuse that's committed by pedophiles. However, you got to remember always that 29% of the abuse, the sexual abuse of our children, is committed by family members, and 60% is committed by others who are known and trusted by the family. So 89% of those who abuse our children are people known and trusted by the family or members of the family themselves. So the difficulty then becomes that although experts estimate that from 1% to 7% of the male population has a predisposition for pedophilia, and only about 2 or 3% actually acts on this desire, one pedophile can have hundreds of victims. So although true pedophiles may not be the largest group of offenders, they could commit the highest percentage of abuse of our children. Protecting our children from sexual predators requires us to pay attention. It requires us to listen. It requires us to notice. And it requires us to take action. As you can see from our conversation today, the problem is much greater than many people would like to acknowledge. In fact, some people often say to me, gosh, the problem has gotten so big in recent years, when in actuality, child sexual abuse is declining statistically. Why? Because we've taught kids to say no, run away and tell somebody. Because there are 5 million adult Catholics who've been through a child sexual abuse prevention program in this country and have actually begun to create environments where children are safe. Because there are other programs that are focused on empowering families and getting up underneath risky situations. So there are actions being taken. What that does, however, is it means that there's a public conversation about child sexual abuse that in recent years, or in years past, rather, was hidden from view. It was something nobody talked about. It was something we didn't speak about outside the family. It was something that was forbidden as a topic of conversation. In fact, some parents still resist the recommendation to teach their kids what the names of their private body parts are, no matter how often we tell them what kind of risk that is for their children when they don't know. So you see, the conversation for protecting children has made the issue more visible. And as a result, there will be a spike in reports initially, and then there will be a decline in actual incidents because people are paying attention, because it's not a forbidden subject anymore, because it's not something that we hide in our families and we don't speak about in front of other people. Keeping them safe requires us to draw attention to, shine a light on, to be advocates for, the prevention of child sexual abuse with our kids and be willing to talk about it, be willing to make a demand that others participate in the conversation, be willing to stand up for and speak out for our children in a way that empowers us to protect them. You know, the nonprofit organization that I initially founded was called Empowering Adults, Protecting Children. That's what we're up to here. We're up to empowering adults for just that purpose, protecting children and creating them as what we call alert adults, people who actually pay attention, take action, do something that makes a difference. Thanks for being with me today. My name is Sharon Doty. And my commitment in life is keeping them safe. That is, creating an environment where all children are safe from sexual predators, particularly those that say they care about them. Join us next time as we continue to look at those unanswered questions in the background, those things that we wonder about but maybe never speak about, or even the questions that always come up when we're discussing this issue with adults in our environment. Have a great evening or week, and I look forward to being with you next time.